But we begin this hour with the latest in the Ebola outbreak and the American response. Since the first reported cases of Ebola in the United States, the Obama administration has announced additional screenings at 5 major airports, and the CDC is calling on hospitals to step up their monitoring for the virus.
Every hospital in this country needs to think about the possibility of Ebola in anyone with a fever or other symptoms that might be consistent with Ebola who's traveled to any of the 3 countries, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, in the previous 21 days.
It's the voice there of CDC Director Dr. Tom Frieden speaking in a press conference yesterday. Meanwhile, others are calling for an all-out travel ban for passengers, any of them coming from West Africa. But, you know, there's a hard thing about infectious disease outbreaks. The virus isn't the only thing that's contagious. So is fear. And if fear spreads and infects too many people, that disease can be called panic. While the public demand to do more against a new threat is in some ways understandable, is having personnel in big blue spacesuits boarding planes so pictures can be posted on the internet really doing us any good? Well, Dr. Jeremy Faust says no. He's an emergency medical resident in New York, and he says that the CDC's hypervigilance under the glare of a hyperventilating media has become an overreaction. And he says the CDC doesn't need to step it up, needs to dial it back. Dr. Jeremy Faust, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You're an emergency medical physician at a hospital in New York. Your hospital asked us not to say which hospital, so we won't. We just want to get that out there. But Ebola, Dr. Jeremy Faust, is dangerous. It's running rampant in West Africa. We have our first diagnosed cases here now. Why do you think the CDC and other health authorities are overreacting?
Well, I think that it's natural to maybe have an overreaction to something that is as virulent as Ebola can be. If someone does get this virus, it is potentially very devastating, and the case fatality rates are quite high. This particular outbreak, we don't know yet how the numbers are going to play out. But in past epidemic outbreaks of Ebola, the death rate has been high. So I can understand why people are, of course, worried about this sort of thing. But there, of course, is the reality that we live very, very far away from the problem. And as of now, there are, of course, 2 cases we've known about in the United States, and only one has been contracted here. So while I understand the fear because it's a very scary virus to contract, I think what needs to be remembered is there's a very, very, very low chance of contracting it.
Now, we're going to talk about sort of the public perception of Ebola, maybe some of the media coverage, which I know you watch. It sounds like it really frustrates you and concerns you. But let's bring it on the ground. You work in an emergency room where there is a reaction. Resources are limited. What's been going on where you work at the unnamed emergency room here in New York that's been affected by Ebola? Why is it a problem?
Well, at the moment, it is not a problem yet, but it could become one as we get towards flu season. We're about to see a 6-fold spike in the number of influenza-like illnesses in our emergency department over the next few months.
Fever, aches.
Correct. So when those people start to come in, I think that's when we're going to have a sense of, oh my goodness, we have way too many people who we can't distinguish who is who. And if every single person who came transatlantic is now fair game for these kind of screening mechanisms, we're really looking at actually resources being expended in the wrong ways.
And are you also looking at the potential for people coming in off the street for every scratchy throat and cough and fever to say, oh gosh, doc, I think I have Ebola? I mean, that takes up time and money.
Right. And it's important for people to realize that this is not an airborne virus. It can only be given, you know, from point-to-point contact, touching a mucous membrane. So you'd have to actually touch someone who you know has the virus or maybe immediate like vomit or other secretions like that and transmit that to the eyes, to the mouth. So for people to come off the street with a fear would be an overreaction to me. So that's something that we will see, and we're worried about that.
So what does it mean for you then when you hear statements like the one we played from the CDC director telling every hospital in the country to be vigilant?
Well, the CDC has a role to play, and that is to maintain this they want to control this virus, and they're doing a very nice job of that. What I'm concerned of is the optics, because the optics of this are the spacesuits and the hazmat suits, and they look like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man out there. But that doesn't do anything to actually help their cause. It just causes panic. So what I do understand that they need to contain this. They're doing a fine job, but I think that the optics are kind of maybe lacking.
Let's talk about sort of the media coverage of this and what you see on television and what we all see on television. There are headlines every single day. I read one just yesterday. A flight boarded after several people on board exhibited fevers. Well, it's flu season. People exhibit fevers, and they sent people in blue suits aboard a plane. I saw pictures on the internet of them getting on the plane, of them being on the plane because everybody has smartphones. What's the consequence of this?
Well, I think that the consequence is that people who have other illnesses may either not want to come and get treated because they're intimidated by what they perceive as a very dangerous situation. Or, on the other hand, I think people will actually, on the other hand, lower their bar and think, if I have a fever, I must have Ebola. So I think the problem is on both ends. We see a lot of airborne illnesses like measles and tuberculosis every year, with vaccination rates with measles being a problem. And my concern is that those are the things that we need to isolate.
What about politics in this case? It's true, of course, we understand that a concern about an outbreak like Ebola drives politicians to do things. But politics also drives the reaction to Ebola. New screening at airports, new people on hand at airports. The public wants to see a response. Cable TV wants to see a response. What's your response when you turn on cable, if you do when you're not working, and you see the coverage?
Well, the coverage really underscores the problem that everyone thinks they have to do something, and because of the political consideration, I need to look like I'm doing something, I think is the sense. And what I want to stress is that we need to not do more. We need to do the right things. And the analogy I would make would be, if you're trying to learn a complicated dance, you learn the basic steps and do those really well. Hard to do that well, but don't add other things that actually make it harder to accomplish that.
If your costume's too big, if you've got too much crazy music, you're just not going to be able to dance.
Right. So people want to look like they're proactive, like I'm doing something and it looks good for their politics, whichever side they may be on. But I actually think that those can come at a cost, because we really need to double down on the things that we know work.
The basic steps can be kind of boring and they can be kind of invisible to the television camera, but what are they?
Well, some of the things we really need to stress, and this is not just for lay people but also for healthcare professionals, would be the proper way to wash your hands, how long that lasts. 15 seconds to wash your hands is an awful long time, but people don't realize how infrequently they do it correctly. Taking on and off gloves. I was on my last shift in the emergency department. I was very cognizant of how I'm taking on and off my gloves, even though I'm not treating patients I'm worried about. And it just takes a couple of mistakes, and you realize that accidents can happen. So we really need to focus in on the simple things that we know work.
The very simple things. And public health authorities, too. You know, one number, when we look at all the numbers about Ebola, Dr. Jeremy Faust, 53,000. That's the number of Americans that died of flu and pneumonia last year. No one's boarding flights in blue suits every time somebody has a possible flu symptom.
Right. And when people ask me, how can I be safe when I go to the hospital, I sort of would say to them what I say about most low-risk scenarios like this: please wear a seatbelt on the way to the hospital, because every day thousands of people die in car accidents, but there's no national outrage about that.
So the politicians, let's say all the politicians are listening and the CDC is listening. Dr. Jeremy Faust, what's your plea?
My plea is, we as medical professionals are looked to by the public for an example, and we want to lead by example and be the rational one saying, look, we know this is a concern, but we know how to handle this, and so we're not going to do more than is necessary just because we want to look like we're doing more.
Well, the best way, according to Dr. Jeremy Faust, to keep yourself safe if you think you have Ebola and you're going to the hospital is, in fact, wear a seatbelt on the way to the hospital, because that's the thing that's probably the danger. Dr. Jeremy Faust, emergency medical resident physician in New York. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.